Welcome to the Treasure Valley, and Boise, the city of trees, is one of the fastest growing areas in the entire nation. Finding the right home is only as important as finding the right realtor. And who better in the Treasure Valley than my girl, Regina Collins. Licensed in both Idaho and California, and self-employed since 1999, Regina Collins prides herself on a strong business and marketing background. With years of experience owning and operating full-staffed businesses, Regina Collins is ready to work for you. Specializing in relocation, veterans, and military families, listings, buyers, commercial, new homes, contingencies, and solar, Regina Collins is able to offer the whole package for her buyers. Whether you are new to Boise, want a better lifestyle for you and your family, or just want to get to know this area better, Regina Collins is honored to help you with this process. For more, visit reginaforhomes.com. The Takeover is brought to you by Coffee and Supply Co. Looking for a new coffee experience? Try Coffee and Supply Company located in Eagle, Idaho. It's a family-owned and features a pour-over bar, a unique bites menu, including vegan and gluten-free options, all locally sourced. Mention Speak Boise and receive 10% off any food and beverage. Visit www.coffeeandsupplyco.com or follow them at Coffee and Supply Co. All right, what up, y'all? Episode 56 of the Takeover Sports Podcast. It's your boy, Ryan Seeker. And to my left, of course, is my co-host, Seth Newville, yet again for another episode. We got NFL, NBA to talk about. It's going to be a very exciting episode. And we also are going to be talking about the trade deadline approaching for the NBA. But before I talk about anything else, Speak Studios has partnered with eBay, providing links in our episode descriptions to listeners for exclusive deals on select products. Guys, you cannot miss out on this. This is a deal. If you golf or know anyone that golfs, there are clubs worth 70% off. And I'm not even kidding. Golf sets worth 70% off. Go check this out. It's Callaway products. Make sure to get these top shelf discounted products while you can. These do expire. It expires at the end of this year. So golf season's right around the corner. Happen. Isn't that right, Seth?
Yeah, golf season never. Well, I guess with the snow lately.
The prime golf season.
Yes, 100%.
Right around the corner. May. You don't want to snooze on these discounts, y'all. Make sure to check the link in the description of this episode for those products. Seth, how you doing, my man?
Doing great. Back for another episode. People always say this is the boring part of the sports world, but that means we could dive deeper, so I'm ready to go.
Yeah, me too. So, I mean, I guess we could start with a little NBA since we're in the swing of things. I would say a lot of names have been thrown around this trade deadline. A lot of people in particular, I mean, we've been hurt. I mean, your boy, we've been hearing about your boy, Bradley Beal. You think he's still a Wizard after March 24th?
I think if he gets dealt, it's going to be the offseason. I don't think he gets dealt at the deadline. Just because there's not a lot of buyers right now, I think, for Bradley Beal that could afford Bradley Beal. I think Miami's maybe one, but that would mean we talked about giving up Tyler Hero or Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, that'd be a huge trade.
I don't know if they're going to do that. And so right now, I don't know if there's a lot of buyers that could afford him. I want to see him go. I've always loved the Wizards. Bradley Beal's like one of my favorite all-time players, but it's hard to watch a guy like this. It's going to be one of those guys that we don't remember his career because of his situation that he's in.
Oh, I know.
And that's the saddest thing. I mean, you look at everyone freaks out about James Harden and makes this whole argument about James Harden being the best offensive player ever. Is he one of the greatest scorers ever? Bradley, I mean, when Harden won his MVP and was going bonkers, he was averaging 36. Brad's at what, like 34.2 right now or something like that?
Oh, it's insane.
He finally got an all-star. I mean, he wasn't even in reserve last year, I don't think. He finally got an all-star game starter.
Bro.
Thank God. but I'm going to sell any rumors because I just don't see him getting dealt. But again, I think it goes back to the idea that NBA players are going to start signing one, if they're not already, signing 1-2 year deals rather than these 4-5 year deals like he did, because then you just get stuck.
Correct. Because, I mean, the guy who kind of started it was Kevin Durant, if you guys don't remember. Signed a 2-year deal with the Golden State Warriors a few years ago, and then he had the option to opt out.
Mm-hmm.
I think, honestly, if I'm a player, I think that's kind of the way to go right now.
The only situation where it's different, and we saw it this past offseason, is Anthony Davis.
Correct.
But that's because Anthony Davis has such a history with injuries. If you're injury riddled and you're getting older,
you gotta
not
do
that
it.
Anthony Davis is getting a whole lot older, but you have Correct. To sign a long-term deal. Bradley Beal signed a 5-year deal when he was entering his prime.
Yeah.
And that's on Bradley Beal. But he also thought he was going to be paired with a healthy John Wall for the next couple years, and they were competitive when he signed the deal. So I don't necessarily blame him for signing that deal, but I think moving forward, we're going to start seeing these 1-2 year deals from all these big names.
Yeah, and getting Russell Westbrook from Houston, I mean, both teams pretty much have the exact same record right now. 11-17 for Houston, 10-17 for the Wizards. Is it possible that both teams lost this trade? I think they both did.
Yeah, I think. I mean, they're neither of them are in a better situation than they were when they made the trade. It was an interesting trade for sure. It was kind of the highlight of the offseason. I think the biggest reason why it was such a big trade, though, was because everyone thought James Harden was going to be the next to go, which he eventually was, but it did take a little bit more time. But yeah, I think it's safe to say both these teams lost this deal. Russell Westbrook's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. But I think he's well past his prime. I think Russ is well past his prime. I don't see him really making a difference anywhere unless he's like the third option. I don't see him being a second option on a contender right now.
Correct. And I think we discussed this last year too. I mean, I think his last year in OKC or maybe his first year in Houston, we saw like a pretty big decline in his athleticism. Mm-hmm. Like we're used to seeing this Westbrook where he's just flying through the rim, yamming over people. And now we just don't see that anymore. He doesn't
100%.
Have it. Because with his game, he relies so much on athleticism. And now that he can't, he's kind of has to learn to shoot, and he just can't shoot.
Well, in order to make it long-term in today's NBA, you have to be able to shoot. That's why I'm curious to see what's going to happen with Zion in the future. I mean, can he rely on this freakish athleticism for some? I mean, that's why LeBron's been so dominant for so long, even though I don't like him. He got a jump shot. He got a rhythm jump shot. And Zion, we haven't seen him be able to do it much. Mm-hmm. But he's only like, what, 21 years old?
He's 20.
Can't even drink a beer 20. Yet. Yeah. So he'll get there eventually. But you have to be able to develop a jump shot in today's NBA.
Absolutely. So some guy who's absolutely stroking it right now, too, on another team that's struggling to contend, fringe contender maybe, Zach LaVine of the Chicago Bulls, right now averaging 29-5-5, and he is 25 years old. I mean, if you need a guard, I think this is the guy to go out and get. But it has to be to a team where you're sound on defense, at least. Because Zach LaVine's not much of a defender.
Right.
But he is gifted on offense and athletically.
This might surprise some people just because of how good Zach LaVine is having a season right now. But if I'm the Chicago Bulls, I am selling Zach LaVine right now. I don't think Zach LaVine's going to be better than he is right now. I 100% do not believe that Zach LaVine's going to get better. I think this is honestly, and I know he's still young, but I think this is the best season he's going to have.
He's probably peaking right now because he's by far the best player on this
exactly.
team.
Exactly. Yeah. Part of that is because he's on a shitty team. Like if when you're on a shitty team, your numbers are going to go up. You're going to be a product of those numbers.
Absolutely.
He's on a shitty team. And so his numbers are higher right now than I think they ever will be. And I mean, Zach LaVine, he's what, third, fourth for the All-Star game in these comments right now. You're really need to tell me that Zach LaVine's the top 4-5 guards in the Eastern Conference, top 10 guard in the NBA, I'm going to say hell no. I like Zach LaVine, but I don't think he's ever going to be that good. And so Chicago, a team that is obviously not going to contend with Zach LaVine anytime soon.
No.
Obviously not. So you could sell him right now, get some draft picks, especially this upcoming draft class is going to be special.
And I believe his contract's about to be up too.
Yeah, I don't know where his contract is at right now, but I'm telling you right now, his value will never, ever be higher. This is his all-time, I think, peak value. Chicago's not going to contend now. They're not going to contend next year. They're not going to contend in 10 years. Or not 10, 5 years.
I mean, so much can happen in 10 years, Seth.
I was going to say, you've got to start looking at 10 years. That's where the 10 years came from.
Correct.
And right now, if you could bring out 3-4 picks, I mean, we saw James Harden go for, like, what, 5 draft picks? We could see it now with Zach LaVine. Obviously he's not valued as much as James Harden, but you could see Zach LaVine go for probably, I think, what, 3 draft picks and a young player maybe. I think if I'm Chicago, I'd go get that. You're not preparing for the next couple of years. You're preparing for the longevity of it. Correct. I think Chicago would be smart to do so.
Absolutely. If you guys are hearing any of these snapshots through Periscope in the background, shout out to our boys, Jonah and Ryan, getting all the photos going. We see you guys are putting in work. I know you guys can't see it, but they're killing it. We're going to be getting pictures posted here soon. You'll see the awesome job they do. Make sure to check them out. Another team.
What do you think? I think we meant to talk about it last show, but we never did. Drummond and Blake Griffin.
I was gonna bring up the Pistons,
and okay. I wanna get your take on this whole situation with the Pistons and the Cavs choosing to sit these players out. We saw Draymond go on a rant, but Draymond rants about everything. There's nothing new there.
I was gonna say Draymond's always the first person to say something.
Draymond reminds me of Richard Sherman. They just bitch about everything. It's entertaining. Always, I kind of like both the dudes, but they bitch. They bitch a lot.
I mean, it's those kind of players where you got to put the microphone in front of their face.
Yeah.
My opinion on this. I mean, if you're the Cavs or the Pistons, I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't honestly. But like, if I'm a player, I should play if I'm able to play. But from a front office perspective, I say if you can pull it off, do it.
Does that make sense? Yeah, I agree. Draymond was ranting because he was talking about how people just ripped apart Kyrie Irving when he sat those 2 weeks out to deal with his mental health, is what he said.
Correct.
I sat those and people ripped him apart. People went at him. Yeah. I was one of those people too. Yeah. James Harden then says he wants out of Houston. People rip him apart. You're a cancer. Call him a cancer. Say he's going to destroy the locker room. But now front offices could go ahead and say, you can't play. We don't want you to play because we're going to trade you. Right. I mean, I think I can understand what Draymond's saying, but also I can understand the point where it also is a business.
Exactly. That's like, why.
What business
GM,
do the employers have more say, or the employees have more say than the employers? I mean, exactly. At the end of the day, it's not how it works. Players Correct. Have to understand that.
Correct. And I think it makes sense because if you're about to get shipped, you got to be in the best condition possible.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. That's just my opinion there. But yeah, some of the players, well, we got Blake Griffin, Derrick Rose.
D Rose is in New York now.
He is.
They shipped him to New York for Dennis Smith Jr. in like a second round draft pick.
Oh my God, that's right. I forgot. Oh my God.
He's back with Thibodeau for the third time. Third time playing with Tom Thibodeau.
But I've heard his name too. He might get traded again.
Really?
Yes. I mean, this dude's kind of been bouncing all over the place. Yeah. I just forgot he was on the Pistons. Jesus.
Yeah.
But, and then, yeah, you got Drummond. I mean,
let us know in the comments, too, any NBA trades you want to see happen.
Exactly. Because, Jarrett Allen got the start over Drummond, right?
Yeah, and went off.
And exactly. And Jarrett Allen's a solid center. 26
and 17.
Yeah, dude, he's an absolute beast. But, I mean, if I'm a contender, I should definitely go and get Drummond, especially if you're struggling for rebounds. He's, like, one of the best rebounders in the entire league, easily.
The perfect fit for Andre Drummond is Boston Celtics.
100%.
You need a center.
100%.
You're one more good player away from being a true contender. You're struggling right now. You haven't had, I mean, who's their center? Daniel Tice and Tristan Thompson.
I was going to say Thompson and Tice, yeah.
And Robert Williams is playing quite a bit too, but go get Andre Drummond. You know, Boston's whole philosophy, Danny Ainge's whole philosophy has been be patient, let the draft do its thing, which has worked. It's what got him Jason Tatum. It's what got him Jaylen Brown.
Correct.
But at some point, pull the trigger.
I know.
And I think this is the perfect time to pull a trigger.
Exactly, because, I mean, and we've seen this with the Boston Celtics so many times. They've gotten so close, but they just get annihilated with rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
And they've just never made it to the finals with this team. Yeah, they're young. You know, you got to have some veteran leadership. I mean, but Kemba Walker is not the same Kemba we've been seeing.
Right.
Jaylen Brown's an absolute beast. Tatum's an absolute beast. But if you got an absolute beast center, and Boston has the assets.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah. They have the assets. Pull trigger.
Yeah. I would ship Robert Williams and a young valued big. Mm-hmm. And then you got lots of guards in there. So they got Peyton Pritchard, who they just drafted. He's worth something. Romeo Langford, they've been stashing for a while. I liked him a lot out of Indiana.
Yep.
He's only in his third year. Carson Edwards has barely seen the floor,
but he's looked promising.
Yeah. And he, in the minutes he's played, he's looked promising. So they have assets, like you said. They got to make the move for Andre Drummond or Blake Griffin, to be honest. They can go get Blake too.
They can go get, because Blake's clearly just unhappy in Detroit. This could be why his numbers are kind of down, but he has been fighting a little injuries as well. But I mean, if I was playing in Detroit right now, I would not be happy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's done playing right now. Detroit won't even play him. I'm curious to see where he's going to land. I heard Miami has kind of been linked to it because then you don't have to give up Tyler Hero or Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, it'd be a lot less expensive.
It'd be like I've heard a Kendrick Nunn package, something centered around Kendrick Nunn, maybe Precious Achiuwa, the other rookie that they just drafted.
Yeah,
to bring him in, which that'd be interesting. I can see that working out.
So, any other teams in the East that you kind of see making a move? I mean, I can't believe the Knicks are the 7th seed right now.
Yeah,
I mean, and then you got the Hornets.
It's a Thibodeau
at the
defense.
Seed. You got the Hornets at the 8th seed. I mean, the Bulls are right there. There's going to be a lot of movement, I think, in this Eastern Conference, and it's weird to see the Heat not even in playoff contention.
Yeah, Heat are the biggest disappointment. I mean, I don't think anyone expect them to be the championship. team.
Yeah,
but I mean, let's see what it said.
Oh, there was a comment.
It said it's just like golf in Detroit. Not happy. Yeah, oh, golf stuck now. Golf stuck for a while.
Gee, who said that?
Big Bubba Butler.
Oh, Christian, my man. Glad you could make
Shout out to Big Bubba.
Big Bubba Butler. He's a big Clippers fan. I think the Clippers honestly look better.
We're about
better.
To talk about the Clippers.
I was going to say, the Clippers honestly look better than they did last year, from what I've seen.
Yeah, they kind of like the same team. I like Serge Ibaka, though. That's a much better fit for
exactly,
them.
Exactly, I do too.
I do think last night was an NBA Finals preview with Brooklyn and the Clippers.
I know. That's been your prediction. That has been your prediction for a while. Oh, I can't wait for a Clippers-Lakers playoff matchup, and I think it's going to happen this year. Ty Lue don't get enough credit. Honestly, yeah.
Too early to say yet.
I mean, yeah, you're right. But, I mean, he's making this team gel pretty well without losing Trez and just getting a new Ibaka in there. But, yeah, they look like they haven't really skipped a beat. I mean, I guess, is it more props to Ty Lue?
Skipped a beat since getting bounced in the second round.
No, I know. Well, that's just, I mean, that's the Clippers for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not giving Ty Lue a bunch of credit. I think it's, I mean, they were good in the regular season last year. They were, what, the second seed in the playoffs?
I think you're right.
They lost. I think Denver was the 3 seed.
I think you're right. I think they were they were the 2 seed.
So I'm not going to give anyone. I mean, Doc Rivers looked good in the regular season last year with them too. So I like Ty Lue. I mean, I don't. His whole time he's been good. He had Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, Kevin Love. Now he's got.
I know that's why he got. I think just kind of disrespect. Yeah, there, which that makes sense. But they've been playing pretty good defense for the West.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're only allowing 108 opponents points per game. And I think that's what it's like fourth in the West.
It's yeah, they got a good defensive roster.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Ty Lue's doing a good job there. More players that can get shopped. Pelicans and Kings. And I think these teams could be sellers, but I mean, again, the Pelicans have been selling, but they've just kind of ended up in the same spot. But I feel like we talked about this on the last show. This team's good enough to contend.
Their record's better than I thought. I thought the Pelicans were like the bottom half. And I saw their record last night. Were they 13-17?
13-17.
Which surprised me. I thought for some reason they were like 10-20 or something.
Oh, no,
like that.
No. Yeah.
So their record's definitely better than I thought. But they have a weird roster where they have like young guys that are just starting to enter their prime, like Lonzo. I mean, Lonzo's still young, but Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart. They got some young dudes. And then they got like Eric Bledsoe and JJ Redick, who are so like specific skill focus. Like JJ Redick's just there to run around off screens and shoot.
Absolutely.
Eric Bledsoe's there to play defense and be a muscle hamster.
Yeah.
And Steven Adams is there just to get rebounds. So it's like, I don't know. There's like a weird, weird back and forth there.
But for Stan Van Gundy, it's like just not working.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of is. I think everyone's kind of still kind of working out with a new coach. These are young players. Van Gundy kind of started a new system. I mean, you saw with this Boston game, I think this team's kind of starting to get the rhythm together. I mean, Josh Hart is having probably one of the best seasons he's ever had. Lonzo Ball is by far having one of the best seasons he's ever had. Steven Adams has been quiet, but again, he's kind of fighting an injury. I mean, Zion, best year he's ever had. I mean, of course, this is his second year, but he's taken such a good leap.
Yeah.
I think he's averaging, what, like 26 points per game now?
That shocks me.
And honestly,
it's been kind of quiet too. ESPN used to like.
He's been very quiet. Yeah, I think it's because
boat race that dude on Twitter, and now he's just like they don't really talk about him.
I think it's LaMelo.
Yeah, they moved on to LaMelo.
I was just say, yeah, they found a new love. Yeah, it was like there was. I saw like some funny meme. I don't know who posted it, but it was like when in the Toy Story where like Andy throws away Woody and like it's like Bleach Report throwing away Zion and
moving on to LaMelo.
The new shiny toy. Yeah,
it's gonna be Cade Cunningham soon, I'm telling you.
And it's gonna be probably Cade Cunningham next year. But another team here, the Sacramento Kings. This is kind of a team that's kind of they've had the same roster for a while, but just haven't really done much. I mean, Fox has gotten better, but Buddy Hield seems to be stuck in neutral.
Buddy gotta go.
I completely
Buddy
agree.
And Bagley.
And I think it's time to start Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think him and Fox, everyone was kind of skeptical of the Kings taking a point guard. But again, they went the best player available approach when they took Halliburton.
Yeah.
But I think him and Fox actually blend really well.
I think so too.
Because Halliburton's a really good half court point guard. Because he's slow, he's smart, he doesn't turn the ball over. Yeah, he's not explosive, but he doesn't have the ball over. He hits jumpers. He can run pick and rolls. And then you got De'Aaron Fox, who just is a freak of nature in transition. And so you get him going downhill. You get Halliburton in the half court. I think this team could and should build around those two guys. I think they need to trade Buddy Hield. I think they need to trade Marvin Bagley.
Yeah.
Get some draft picks, get some another young assets, and start young and start around De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Halliburton. I think that's how I would do it.
I think so too.
But I also want to talk to you, going back to the Pelicans really quick.
God.
As I know you like the Pelicans, so I wanted to ask, because
I do.
They're kind of in this situation, right? Where they could be like maybe a 7-8 seed in the West, get bounced first round and call it a year going to the offseason. And then lose all these veterans, and then they're kind of rebuilding again and be stuck in this mediocre phase. Would you rather have them try to contend like this, where they're bringing in these little veterans here and there and playing them with a veteran coach, Van Gundy, or do you want to see them go like the Thunder route and just abort ship and just clean house and start a bunch of G Leaguers and get like 19 draft picks for the next 10 years? What would you rather see happen? What do you think is a better route to go in the NBA nowadays?
I mean, with being in the West, it's just so difficult, especially being kind of a small market team as well. I don't think they should abandon ship on all these players. I think there's just they haven't found the right gel for all these players yet.
Right.
Because Brandon Ingram plays a lot of ISO ball, because he kind of likes to create his own shot. Zion Wilson can also be that ISO guy. But he needs a good point. He needs to have a good point guard.
Mm-hmm.
Lonzo's kind of been playing like a 2/1. Bledsoe's been playing like a 2/1, because Lonzo's been playing off ball a lot. But it's like, if you're the Pelicans, you kind of want him to have the ball in his hands.
Right.
Because his strong suit 100%. Is bringing the ball up and his vision. And then Bledsoe, I mean, he's not an amazing shooter. He's having a career low in pretty much every category right now. So I think you just got to get. You got to get another good player in that back. I just don't think Bledsoe fits.
Right.
And I don't think, I mean, I've been thinking about this. I mean, I think you keep Zion. I think if you get the right offer for Brandon Ingram, I think you pull trigger.
Really?
I think so. Because
what would be the right offer? Like another player and a pick, or like a better player so that you give up more?
Like another really good player. I don't know. I'm trying to think. I would say,
like, do you try to upgrade or do you try to go younger?
I try an upgrade.
Okay.
I absolutely try an upgrade, because I think if you get a really good vet. I know we talk about him a lot. Imagine Bradley Beal on this team.
Yeah.
Lonzo, Bradley Beal, whoever the three
Ingram
is.
Would be kind of the right package for him. You'd have to add probably Kira Lewis too.
And then that's probably
Nikhil Alexander Walker maybe, and maybe some picks.
Yeah. And then you get Bradley Beal and Denny.
Yeah.
And then you have Steven Adams, Zion, and then Josh Hart plays way bigger than 6'5".
Mm-hmm. Josh Hart.
You could probably have Bradley Beal at the 3 and then Hart at the 2.
Yeah. I think you definitely could.
And I think that team would be so much better, because you have the ball in Lonzo's hand, and then you have Bradley Beal, who is an absolute sniper from beyond the arc, and he can play lockdown defense, and he can create his own shot, but that's not what he relies on.
Yeah,
he can be. A
I actually like that deal
well.
A lot.
You know, so you see what I'm saying, and I think the Wizards benefit from that too.
Yeah,
you get way younger, a lot cheaper. Brandon Ingram is 23 years old, bro.
Damn, that's crazy.
Isn't that weird to think about?
That's crazy.
But I think that would be a good trade for the Pelicans. But do you see what I say when I think they should sell, but don't sell the farm?
Okay. So then, if you were to get when I was asking you, would you upgrade or go younger? So you would rather do that deal, try to contend for the next 3-4 years, and then after that, it could be interesting to see what happens with Zion. Or do you look at a team like Sacramento, and if you dish Ingram, get like a Buddy Hield, draft picks, Marvin Bagley package,
okay,
and go young and try to build for the future around Zion?
No, I say, give this team right now another year and a half, and if it's still not working, I think someone's got to go.
I'd agree with that.
You see what I'm saying? I think it's still too young. Zion's 20. Lonzo's 23. Yeah. Ingram's 23. Hart's 25. Nikhil Alexander Walker. You got a lot of assets too on this mm-hmm. team. Kira Lewis is 19. But I think if Stan Van Gundy's system still isn't working within a year and a half, I think offensively, something needs to change.
That was a weird hire.
It was.
That was a weird hire.
It really was. I think offensively something needs to change, whether it's Brandon Ingram. I don't think you dish out Zion. I think he's too talented.
No, you don't trade Zion.
Yeah, but Brandon Ingram's really talented, don't get me wrong. It seems like he kind of throws the offense off rhythm a bit, and this team's been having a lot of trouble closing games.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the reason is kind of the iso ball approach. Late game, and I think everyone just kind of panics, and then Ingram tries to create his own shot. But Brandon Ingram hasn't hit, honestly, a lot of buzzer beaters. I think he's hit like...
He had a big one last night. Not a buzzer beater, but he had a big one. The three.
The three was huge.
It's Boston.
Yeah, but everything before that, though, I mean, that whole team was clicking.
Right.
I think Brandon Ingram definitely... I don't know. If I had to pick between Zion and Brandon Ingram, I think Ingram's got to go. Yeah. Not yet.
Yeah, I would definitely...
But if something needs to happen, that, too. That is what I'd say.
Well, a team that's not struggling is the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn, I don't know how many they've won in a row now, but I saw they swept the entire Pacific Division, which includes the two teams in L.A. The Lakers and the Clippers swept them on their road trip without Kevin Durant, their best player, arguably the best player in the NBA. They go on to be, I know the Lakers didn't have Anthony Davis, but they beat them. They beat the Clippers after the Clippers had just beat the Red Hot Jazz. So Brooklyn continues to play great ball. Big win last night, like I said in my finals preview, against the Clippers. This team, is it this year, are you saying, is it championship win or bust? Or is this team just get to the championship? Do you solidify them as having a successful year? Or do you think they have to win it?
I don't think they have to win it, but they definitely need to win the East.
Yeah.
They have to win the East because it's their first year with this many stars. And I think they have to go to the championship. But next year and the years after that, they've got to win it all.
They're definitely going to have to get one.
Anytime
you give up your future to get James Harden.
And Brooklyn's done this before. Did. And man, they were in a hole for a while.
They have impressed me very, very much, though, I will say.
I agree.
I didn't think it was going to work necessarily. And I really didn't think it was going to work this early. But I think the biggest turning point for me is when Kyrie came out and said, I told Harden he's point guard, I'm going to play shooting guard. I think that's when it turned, because Harden is such a good creator, but he's just gotten to this habit of jacking everything up. Now I think he trusts his teammates. I don't know if he ever trusted his teammates in Houston.
I don't think he did.
Now he trusts Durant. He trusts Kyrie, obviously. Joe Harris gets a lot of great looks. I mean, Joe Harris has to be my role when I play basketball was shoot the three, and a shooter's dream is to play with ISO players that dish it, because you just create all this shit and then you just get wide open looks. Joe Harris is going to be a walking bucket for that team.
Oh, I know.
And then DeAndre Jordan playing well down low. This team's going to be scary. And I actually think it's championship or bust this year. I think we live in a different NBA to where, you know, the old school way was we saw it with Jordan's Bulls against the Pistons when they get their ass kicked all the time. And then their old school way was, you know, go back into the gym, get to work as a team, figure out how you're going to beat them. Nowadays, with, like we talked about, these 1 or 2 year contracts, players, it doesn't work after a year or two, abandon ship, go play somewhere else. You know,
yeah.
LeBron got his championship in Cleveland, realized it wasn't going to work, paired up with Anthony Davis in LA.
Yeah.
Paul George did the same thing, go play with Kawhi Leonard. You know, Kawhi Leonard did the same thing. He just came off a championship in Toronto and was like, I don't see it working out long term.
Yeah, no,
I mean, go play in a contender. And that's how today's NBA works. So you have three superstars in James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, who are all in that situation where they could abandon ship at any moment and go play with any contender that they want to. It's a championship or win situation every time those three guys step on the court together. So I think it's a championship or bust, but I might be buying into it. I might be saying that they're the championship favorite now. I really do think they're the championship favorite now.
I know. I might have to agree with you here. With Davis going down with the injury, I would probably take the Brooklyn Nets right now. This team has gelled so well together. They're absolutely loaded. They kept Karis...
Indy.
What am I looking at here? Oh, this is from the whole season. I'm like, this isn't right. I'm like, Jared Allen's still not there. Karis LeVert's still not there. But no, they kept Joe Harris, which I think was huge.
Yeah.
In these trades.
Bruce Brown's a pretty good player off the bench too. I like Bruce.
Oh, absolutely. And then they kept Spencer Dinwiddie as well.
He's done for the year though.
I know. But see, like I said, next year they're going to be in the third year.
Yeah.
Because this year they all came together. They do have to get to the championship though. I completely agree. But I mean, if they lose to like the Lakers or Clippers, I don't think it's going to be as big of a gut punch. I think next year, though, they have to win it all. And
they have to get one in the next 2 years. Absolutely.
They have to get one. And if they don't, I think this team gets, they get mental.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It might be championship or bust this year because this team is, I mean, James Harden, he knows what the critics say. I mean, Harden seems to be a guy that pays attention to the media. He pays attention to social media. He pays attention to his Instagram. He pays attention to all that. And I think he knows people say he can't play in the playoffs. So if he comes out and he doesn't perform in the playoffs, and then there's the whole Kevin Durant. I mean, obviously, we all know Kevin Durant pays attention to his critics.
Oh, my God. He for sure has a burner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think Kevin Durant, I mean, he sees they go lose in the finals and all these tweets come out about how he can't win without Steph. He can't win without Klay. He can't win without Draymond. He's going to pay attention to that. And then it's going to be the mental side. I think they're going to flip a switch. And so I think it's championship or bust. But this team's looking good. I mean, they are looking like a true champ. I know it's so early still, but man, and I wanted to ask you, I kind of want to play a little quick little game here.
Okay.
I'm looking at their big threes. It seems to be like a common thing in the NBA now. So who's got the best big three? It's like,
it's a star-driven league.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this is what it takes to win a ring now.
Right.
Whether you like it or not, teams have to look like this.
Right.
Yeah. And if you're in the East, there's literally no question. You got to go to the finals.
Yeah.
You got to go.
If you're the best player in the East, dude, that's why I think Giannis gets all this snack now. I think that's why people realize Giannis maybe isn't quite the player that they thought he was because he hasn't won the East yet.
Especially legacy wise. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got two MVPs, but I mean,
no one gives a rat's ass about MVPs.
You're not climbing any accolade leaderboards right now if you can't go to the finals.
But I wanted to do like a little comparison game with the Brooklyn Big Three compared to past big threes every time. I mean, big threes have kind of evolved since LeBron with the decision. I think that kind of started this whole big three fetish with all these NBA players wanting to team up.
Big three fetish. I think
the original one was in-house. I'd say like Tony Parker, Manu, and Tim Duncan. That one was built in-house. But I want to go through and look at some of these big threes and compare them to Brooklyn's. I want you to tell me if they're better, if Brooklyn's is better, or if they're worse.
Okay, I'm ready.
Big threes. And we'll start with the original one, the in-house one. We'll start with Tony, Manu, Tim Duncan. I don't care. I'm not talking about in this team, so you can't look at anyone else on those Spurs teams. You can't look on anyone else on the Spurs team.
It's just those three players.
If those three, if you're starting a team for this season, could you take a prime, would you take a prime Tony, Manu, Tim, or a prime Kyrie, Harden, KD?
I mean, yeah, I would probably have to take the Brooklyn Nets.
You would take Brooklyn's there?
I would.
Okay.
I would. Just pure talent-wise. Because if I'm starting a team for one season, you said?
Yeah, we're going one season to win a championship.
I'm going to take the two best scorers of our generation on the same court in the same uniform. Kevin Durant, James Harden. And I'm going to take one of the most talented point guards I think we've seen in the last decade, Kyrie Irving. And he can shoot, and he's probably arguably the clutchest shooter on that team.
I think that's fair.
I think I would take those three. Now, when Greg Popovich is their coach, that makes it really, really tough.
Right.
But if it's just those three.
We're not talking that. Yeah, correct. We're not talking any correct. Outside. We're talking always, strictly these three players.
When we always play like these sports what-if games, you know, there's always these questions like, oh, but what if? Oh, if.
Right.
If it's just these three players going at it, I'm taking Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden.
Okay, then this one's my little personal. Kobe Bryant, Lamar Odom, Pau Gasol.
That's my boy, Kobe. I would still probably
take... You gotta go Brooklyn there.
I'm still taking Brooklyn's.
I think I'd take San Antonio's, but I'd take Brooklyn's over that one.
Okay. Okay, that's interesting.
And then we look at Miami's. Wade, Bosch, LeBron. Need help growing your business? It's what you don't know that will cost you. Tulu Peer Advisory Groups is here for every stage of business growth. Find out more at talloo.com.
I'm going to take the Miami team.
You're going to take Miami's big three there?
Yeah. The best player of all time with Dwayne Wade.
Wait, you believe Bron's a GOAT?
Yeah.
Have we had this debate before?
I think we have. Okay. Actually, no, we'll save
that's,
that.
That's Friday then.
Well, yeah, that's going to be Friday. And I believe that show's going to have our most views. Oh, it for sure is. Wow. And that is prime LeBron James.
Start my own podcast now.
That is prime LeBron James.
Oh my God.
Prime D Wade and prime Chris Bosh all in one. And Chris Bosch was kind of the guy who, he was like the second coming of the stretch four. Dirk started it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Bosch was kind of like the start of the second wave.
Right.
Or maybe Bosch kind of started that wave. But Dirk was like that, wow, we've never seen this before for like 5-7 years.
Yeah.
And then once Bosch came, and then like a few years later, everyone kind of started to learn how to shoot at the four position. Anyways.
He just should have never shaved his dreads.
I know. That's very unfortunate.
That's when his career went down the shitter. I won the reins in Miami, but.
Yeah. But like, I mean, that's just, that's so swaggy, especially when you're really, really good.
With those Toronto jerseys too.
There's a lot of players that shouldn't have cut their dreads.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah.
So you take Miami's over that Brooklyn one?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. And even especially defensively too.
Okay. Then we go to, I'm going to skip Cleveland. We're going to go to Golden State. We're going to go Curry, Clay, Draymond.
Versus Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving. This is a tough one. I think I want to go with Golden State.
Yeah,
everyone in their prime.
I think I'd take Golden State's too.
Because
you got defense.
You got defense, shooters. And you got well-coached players too. I know it's just the three, but like they don't get in their own head, and they always know they have a chance to win. They never really barked at each other, but Draymond's the barker of the team, and he kind of holds. He's kind of like the heartbeat of that team. He's very, very important. I know he doesn't put up like 18 points per game, but he does so much for that team. That just doesn't really show up on big stats.
Oh, I agree. I think Draymond's very underrated.
Yeah, and then Curry's the best shooter of all time. Not even close. And he's going to shatter every shooting stat. And then you got Klay Thompson. In his prime, hot Klay Thompson is the best player we've ever seen.
When he's hot.
When he's hot. Oh, my God. It's like when Curry's hot and Klay's hot, no one is stopping them. And they have such good chemistry together. The pick and roll,
it's been so long since we've seen it.
The pick and pop, I know. I miss Clay so much. I'm taking Golden State's big three.
I think I'd take Golden State's there too.
Yeah, I could go for days. I mean, I know a lot of people hate the Warriors, but that is some of the prettiest basketball I've ever seen.
I don't understand the whole thing why people hate the Warriors, though. Then we'll move to the NFL in just a sec. But I never really understood the whole hatred of the Warriors. I know it's just because when teams get dominant, I mean, we saw with the Patriots, when you win a lot, people start to hate you. That's understandable.
Makes sense. Yeah.
But the NBA, the shitty thing about the NBA is everyone, you know, nowadays, and I just talked about it, jumps ship when things go wrong. I mean, Durant bailed on OKC. LeBron bailed on Cleveland the first time and a second time.
Yeah.
All these players kind of like bail when things get tough, and no one used to ever do that. I mean, Jordan, Scottie, those guys lost to the Pistons like 7 years in a row, and they never bailed. They stayed in-house, but you don't see that anymore. But with Golden State, I mean, I know they brought in Durant, so I can understand that, but originally, they drafted Steph. They drafted Klay. They drafted Draymond,
exactly.
And none of those guys went in the top five. They were all outside of top five draft
exactly.
picks. And so I thought it was pretty incredible what they built there. In-house, so I never really understood all the hatred for them. I could understand why people hated them once Kevin Durant got there because they went and got him.
I get the hate with Durant. I get that. That makes sense. That just made it not as fun to watch.
But those original Golden State teams.
Oh my God, dude. That 2015 Warriors team, that was some of the best basketball I've ever seen.
Oh yeah.
Steve Kerr, hats off to him too. A lot of people say, oh, he had Curry, Clay, Draymond, but like so did Mark Jackson.
Yeah.
Kerr elevated that whole team.
I kind of hope Mark Jackson gets another gig because I can't stand listening to him call games.
Oh, I know.
He drives me crazy.
Dude, I agree. And I think he will get a fair shot here soon. But even talk about Andre Iguodala, too. Like, he was a huge part of that team.
Yeah.
But yeah,
they brought him in.
You got another big three for me?
No, that was kind of the wrap.
That was the last one.
Yeah.
Okay. So speaking of cutting dreads, you know who shouldn't have cut their dreads?
Which I think you're going to here. I don't know who.
Julio Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember when he had dreads?
Yeah.
That was the most swaggiest thing.
He had the small ones, though.
I know, but still, those were dreads.
Yeah.
Dude.
They're tight.
Yeah. So anyways, we're going to transition to the NFL. That's why I said that. You guys are probably wondering, well, way off topic. But no, we're switching to the NFL. We got another game we like to play here on The Takeover, and we haven't done it in a long time. As a matter of fact, I don't think Seth was even my co-host when we were playing this game. True or false edition. but we're doing the NFL, and it's going to be quarterbacks. We're going to be naming NFL teams with kind of borderline quarterbacks. Do they jump ship? Do they move on? Or do they hang on because it's only just going to get better? Things are trending up. Are things trending down? Seth Neuville, do you want me to start?
Go for it.
So I'm going to name a team, and then I'm going to name the team and quarterback, obviously, and then you're going to say true or false.
Whether or not they need a quarterback or not?
Yep, time to move on.
Let's do it.
Or this can mean trade him.
Okay.
Seth Neuville, true or false? The Miami Dolphins need a new quarterback.
I'm going to say true on this one. And a lot of people might get upset because Tua is only in his second year and you shouldn't bail on your first overall pick. But Miami's in a spot now. I think this year showed. I think the success of this year kind of gave them trouble. I think this team could win a Super Bowl in the next year or two with the right fit. I'm going to say true if it's Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
If it's like a Dak Prescott or something, I'm going to say false. No, be patient with Tua. Let it happen. You got a great coach. You got a young coach, Brian Flores.
Yeah.
You got lots of draft picks still in the future. Let it develop. See what happens. But if you got a shot to get Deshaun. Oh, I almost went down.
One of our camera guys just stepped on the cord. We almost just lost one of our lights. We're good, though.
But you got a chance to get Deshaun Watson, and you're in a situation where your division is trash. I mean, you got Jets, who no one has any idea what they're going to do, and they're not contending anytime soon. You got the Bills, who, yeah, the Bills are good, but the Patriots, who aren't going anywhere anytime soon. You got a chance to make some noise in this division with Deshaun Watson. I mean, you had cohort and quarterbacks last year with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tua.
Yeah.
And they won, what, 10 games, 11 games, or one game outside of the playoffs?
I think they went, what, 10-6-1?
You put Deshaun Watson on that team, that's... I mean, I'd say 12-4, 13-3 team right there. So the Super Bowl is so rare that any chance you have a shot to even get remotely close to it. And Tua could get there, but we don't know. It's a question mark, right? We don't know if Tua can get there. We know Deshaun Watson could get there with the right pieces around him.
Yeah.
Go make it happen. So if it's Deshaun Watson, I say yes, absolutely. Give up your third overall pick. Give up Tua. Give up more draft picks. Go get Deshaun. But if not... Yeah, I'd probably be patient.
Okay. I got another one. Seth Neuville. The Las Vegas Raiders need a new quarterback. True or false?
No, I'm going to say false. I think Derek Carr is one of the most underappreciated quarterbacks of the last 10 years of this decade. Derek Carr has been, I mean... People are always mad at him because the Raiders are bad or the Raiders don't do anything, but it's never been the quarterback's fault. I mean, this team, they've had no defense the last 10 years. I don't know how you don't get better on defense. Probably it's because you draft guys like Clinton Farrell, but you don't get better on defense for the last 10 years.
I didn't get that pick.
And yet it's on Derek Carr. And yet they're still always somewhat competitive. I mean, Raiders looked good at some points this year. And so
they beat the Chiefs.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only option outside of Derek Carr right now is the only people that are available that I would take over Derek Carr. Obviously Deshaun Watson, but that's not going to happen. So
what if they draft a quarterback?
No. I mean, where are they sitting right now? 12, 13?
Yeah.
Somewhere in that range. Yeah, I don't.
I think they're at 12.
No, I give Carr another year or two. I'm going to say false on that one.
I would say true.
Really?
I would. I think... Quarterback play matters so much, and I know their offense has been good, not great, but I think if you had Deshaun Watson, that offense would become great, and I think the weapons are there. They really are. Then they have a good O-line, but I think they do need to build defense. I give Carr one more year.
Yeah.
And the Raiders have to go get defense. Have to.
You win in today's NFL with O-line and defense.
Correct.
That's how you win. Everyone wants to look at, Tom Brady won his 7th Super Bowl. Yeah, like good for him. That's incredible.
Yeah.
But they won because their defense. They won because they have a good O-line. They won because they drafted smart, and that is drafting defense, and that is drafting offensive line. They did that. Vegas needs to. Vegas keeps drafting skill position guys and taking weird gambles on defense, and that is what's costing them. Derek Carr is not the reason. I kind of want Derek Carr to get traded because I want to see him play somewhere else, somewhere that gives him a better system.
Okay.
But I don't think it's his fault.
They do need an edge rusher really bad.
Mm-hmm.
They do not have, honestly, a good edge rusher. Max Crosby's nice. He's not, like, good.
Yeah.
I don't think he's, like, I think, I just, I they need, he can't be the best edge rusher on that team. Who's another one?
I got one for you.
Okay. Yeah, you go.
Chicago Bears.
Absolutely.
Okay, then who? Because I agree.
Yeah. You go get, you try, you ask for Deshaun Watson. If that doesn't work, I mean, honestly, as embarrassing as it would be, like, you could have drafted this guy, but Deshaun Watson, yeah. Yes, you go try and get Deshaun Watson. If not, you draft one. Trubisky's not the answer, and neither is Nick Foles. So, what pick are they at? What, they made the playoffs?
Yeah, they're probably,
what,
18, 19?
I was going to say 18, 19. I mean, yeah, they're in a really weird spot, but I think their receiving core so good. Honestly, I feel
if
like
Allen comes back.
If Allen Robinson comes back, yes. But what's that receiver's name? Darnell Mooney. That guy has so much potential, some of the routes he runs. But some, do you know how many times he got overthrown?
I think I saw that video.
Exactly. They've made a compilation video of this dude getting overthrown. And this guy absolutely cooks DBs. But Mitchell Trubisky can't get it to him. It's time for a new quarterback in Chicago.
So then I ask you,
that's
everyone,
my opinion.
Everyone, I was in some shows today. Everyone was kind of calling out Chicago for not going after Carson Wentz. If you were offered, because I think what the Colts ended up giving away or
second, third
rounder. Was it this year? Was it this year's draft?
It was
one of each.
It was a second
one?
This year, and I think a third next year.
Okay. If you were Chicago and Philly called to answer or to ask for that trade, do you do that if you're Chicago?
No.
I wouldn't. Everyone's saying they're crazy because Chicago wasn't calling about Wentz. How much is Wentz an upgrade over Trubisky? I mean, that's
scheme,
my big thing.
Scheme-wise, not at all.
I don't think he's a lot better than Mitchell Trubisky, so I don't
think so either right now.
My prediction is Chicago's going to end up with Cam Newton. That's my prediction. And it's going to be the same thing, Chicago. But I see the reason, though, if I'm Chicago that I don't draft a running back is because you have an experienced defense that is good. Like, their defense could contend now.
100%. No, yeah, they've gotten a stellar defense.
Yeah.
Absolutely stellar defense.
And Matt Nagy's about 1 year away from getting fired.
Exactly. But, I mean, you got to just, it's time for a new quarterback because they're going to be in the same spot as they were last year. Their defense is good. Their O-line's, it's not amazing. Granted, you know, I'll cut Trubisky a little slack, but he can move.
Yeah,
he can move. Like he's a decently mobile quarterback. He's a decent athlete. But he blatantly misses open receivers, and you see it a lot. So yeah, that's my opinion there on the Bears. I say go get a new quarterback. It's time. Seth Neuville, the New York Giants.
I was curious if you're gonna ask this one. I'm gonna say no. Daniel Jones gets a lot of crap in the media. A lot of crap. But I'm going to say no. I may be patient. I mean, he's younger. And what have you given him? I mean, Saquon was out all year.
Correct.
Sterling Shepard's not that great. Golden Tate didn't even want to be there. I mean, Evan Ingram drops everything that's thrown to him. What have you really given Daniel Jones right now? And they weren't competitive, but they were a game within winning their division last year. So yeah. they've been in that spot. Daniel Jones is young. Give him some weapons, see what happens.
Yeah. I think I would agree. I think it's too early to hop off the Daniel Jones bandwagon. And who else are you going to go get? Honestly.
Yeah. If you're the Giants. There's no more options out there. Dude.
Yeah. And he's still on a rookie contract. Give him another year. Your division's not good. Go see what happens when you get a healthy Saquon.
Right.
So, and then hit a few more draft picks. I think it's too early to jump ship on Daniel Jones.
I'd agree.
No.
I got one for you.
Okay.
Staying in your division, the Atlanta Falcons, true or false, do they need a new quarterback?
I think it's false.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
they're an interesting one because they sit at the four spot right now in the draft.
They are. I think they just they need help. They need more help on defense. They had a really banged up O-line last year. I think if the offer is right, I think they should trade Julio.
Yeah.
Honestly,
I kind of want Julio to get traded.
I know, and honestly, I think it'd be a good move for both sides. You know, Julio getting out of Atlanta, and then Atlanta just doesn't utilize him that much. And I think Calvin Ridley's been easily the most productive receiver. And then yeah, who's the other guy that he balled? Who's the
Russell
guy?
Russell Gage.
Russell Gage. He's an absolute stud as well. I think yeah, you can go get another receiver in the draft, and it'll save you a lot of money. But I know this isn't about trading Julio. It's about trading Matt Ryan. I'm sorry. I could go off about Julio. I think Matt Ryan's is still a good quarterback. He throws picks, but he's always trying to play catch up.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this team just needs more help on defense. And the head coaching has been very, very bad for the Falcons.
Yeah, this one's interesting. I do think I draft a quarterback this year.
Whoa,
I'm not saying start. I wouldn't start whether it's whether it's Zach Wilson or Justin Fields, whoever is sitting at four.
Okay.
I don't say start them immediately. I'm not going to start them over Matt Ryan next year. But Matt Ryan's getting older. This team's definitely not getting younger. Julio's banged up. I think I would trade Julio because you get draft picks. Build some draft picks, build young. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes, people forget, Patrick Mahomes sat for a year. Patrick Mahomes was a backup for a year behind Alex Smith. Aaron Rodgers was a backup for, 3 years behind Brett Favre?
Yeah.
He was a backup for a long time. These quarterbacks that make it, Tom Brady was a backup behind Drew Bledsoe for a long time. These quarterbacks that make it in the NFL
sit
for a while, right? Correct. You get thrown into a bad situation. That's why as much as I love Trevor Lawrence, as good as I think he is, I don't know how successful he's going to be. He's in Jacksonville. Same with Joe Burrow in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And so you're sitting in Atlanta. I think Atlanta could be a great spot for a Justin Fields, for a Zach Wilson to sit for a year, develop them, and then they'll come out and play. That's what I expect to see happen with Atlanta.
We're going to stay in the NFC. And I'm going to stay in the same. I'm going to stay in the same division as I had last time. The NFC North, Minnesota Vikings. Kirk Cousins.
I'm going to say false. There's just not a better option right now.
Okay.
I don't know who would. Maybe a Dak Prescott that's available.
It's kind of like the same Derek Carr situation we were talking about.
They're not going to contend, but
yeah. Kirk Cousins is decent. It's just like it's Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. He's so hot and cold.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts to watch sometimes because some games he's just absolutely on, and then some games he is just giving the ball to Dalvin Cook every
prime time Kirk.
Exactly. So you say false.
I may say false on that one.
Okay.
I just because there's a lack of options. Maybe next offseason, but no one's going to pick up Kirk's contract, and there's just a lack of options out there.
Okay. And you know what? Their defense was really banged up too.
Yeah.
And he's got good weapons. I feel bad because the Vikings are in the same division as the Packers.
I almost think they need to get a new coach. Everyone always likes Zimmer, but
I think he might be right. It's kind of time to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They've had talented rosters, but they haven't really produced anything.
They've had questionable decisions drafting corners.
Yeah.
They've never really
I liked Gladney. He wasn't good this year, but I do like Jeff Gladney.
I think he'll have to try and he'll develop here soon. But they've never had a corner over 25 years old.
That's
except
crazy.
For Xavier Rhodes. They've always been super, super young,
mm-hmm.
and they've always had to draft them at the late first, and usually the corners don't always pan out late first. As always, the hit rate, I'm not saying it's impossible, the hit rate's way lower.
Right.
I think they've always kind of been struggling because that's why a lot of their DBs have been burnt toast lately. Can't blame all that on Kirk Cousins. But
right.
You got another one?
I got one more.
Okay.
Denver Broncos.
Mm.
True or false? They need a new quarterback.
I'm going to say false just for one more year.
Give Drew Lock one more year.
Absolutely. Cortland Sutton will be coming back. Bradley Chubb, Von Miller will be coming back. This team.
Von Miller's been coming back for 3 years now.
I know, but he didn't play a snap this season.
Yeah.
Poor guy. He's huge. That's a huge mm-hmm. loss. That's Von Miller. I know he's obviously on the back end of his career, but it's like the heartbeat of that defense still.
Right.
And he can still generate pressures. Cortland Sutton, he's one of the most underrated wide receivers in football, in my opinion. And they were clicking.
Out.
They were clicking with Drew Lock, weeks 14 through 17 when Drew Lock came in. Yeah. It was like 13 through 17.
Oh, the year, the prior year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then they lost Sutton.
Yeah. No,
I agree. I think maybe if I was Denver, and I hate to say this because B Rip, Brett, you're my guy.
Yeah.
But if I'm Denver, I think I bring in, kind of go a Chicago route and bring in a vet quarterback that's old. Maybe like a Ryan Fitzpatrick's a free agent. I maybe bring in a Fitzpatrick, you know, Chicago did it with Nick Foles to try to push Mitchell Trubisky. I would like to kind of see someone bring him like a Ryan Fitzpatrick, like Alex Smith, but obviously he's in DC, but just like an old vet on the market that's going to come in and kind of push Drew Lock, maybe give him a little bit of a competition, but it's still ultimately your job. And now, you know, your clock's ticking. It's go time.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to talk about that Deshaun Watson stuff real quick. There was a team, I got a notification a few days ago that the Panthers are trying to pursue Deshaun Watson. How do you feel about that?
I saw they cleared a bunch of space. It'd be interesting with Christian McCaffrey, but I don't see it with that defense.
It's not ready.
I don't see that working.
But I feel
out.
Like they'd be a lot better. Like, I think the Panthers would be actually a lot better with Deshaun Watson. I mean, obviously, but quarterback play matters in this league, and I think when you have weapons like DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey, even Robbie Anderson was a baller.
Yeah,
with Teddy Bridgewater.
Good. And you give him a quarterback the big arm.
Yeah, and then I think you try and build some of that O-line as well. And
It's a pretty tempting spot. I mean, you got a young coach, an aging division with Tom Brady and Drew Brees leading that division.
Yep.
It's an aging division.
Matt Ryan's not getting younger.
Yeah, Atlanta's not getting better either. The whole NFC is going to be getting worse here in a couple of years. It's actually a pretty tempting spot if I were him. Matt Rule, I think, will be a good coach.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll be competitive for another year or two, but.
Yeah, because Brady's only got, two more years?
Yeah, who knows at this point? He says he's for sure playing till 45.
I mean, that's all we know. Oh, then yeah. He'll easily get to 45.
Yeah.
Easily get to 45. 2 years away. Barring an injury, of course.
Right.
But if he's been playing like he does, protected like he is, he'll easily make it to 45. Mm-hmm. All right. That's all I got for this show. Do you want to add anything else
before we wrap up?
Any hot takes you want to get off your chest real quick?
I just didn't know we've never had that debate. I didn't know you actually thought, how have we been doing this for I don't know how long, and I've never known you fucking thought Braun was better than Jordan.
I mean, he is. So
come back to that every time.
He really is. No, I mean, we can do quick little.
Oh no, we're not doing that now because we'll be here another two hours.
we got 5 minutes. I think right now, Jordan is better. He's had a better legacy. But when it's all said and done, when LeBron James retires, LeBron James will go down as the greatest basketball player of all time.
No. I mean, okay, so you say Michael Jordan's, as of right now, Michael Jordan's better. He has a better legacy right now?
Correct.
Michael Jordan played 16 seasons in the NBA. This is LeBron's 17th season. So LeBron's already out.
It's not LeBron's fault he went and played baseball. That is not LeBron's fault.
No, Jordan literally just got tired of winning. He was literally, basketball just became too easy for him to the point where he had to leave. Plus he helps that he won a national championship on top of it. But everyone's always like, well, give LeBron a couple more years and this will be a different discussion. He's already had an extra year than Jordan had in the NBA. And we're comparing resumes right now. 6 championships, 4 championships. I think the biggest one for me that no one talks about is Defensive Player of the Year. He won a Defensive Player of the Year award. I mean, the dude won every single award possible, and LeBron hasn't. And LeBron, I've always told you LeBron is the greatest.
What's LeBron?
He's never won Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh Lord. Oh Lord. That's why
there's two sides of the ball. No, I know, but then you throw in 6 championships to 4 championships. And just the way he did it, I mean, he's like we've talked about all this show today, is he did it in-house, right? I mean, he got his ass kicked playing the Pistons over and over again.
Yeah.
He came back. LeBron got his ass kicked by the Spurs in the finals and then by the Celtics and the Magic in the playoffs and then dips to go play with his best buddy in Miami and gets a championship that way. And then that wasn't working out because Wade was getting old, so he doesn't go dip and play back at Cleveland once they get the number one pick in Kyrie Irving. And then loses Kyrie Irving, so now he's going to leave again LeBron and go dips, play with Anthony Davis.
Okay, so yeah, so when LeBron dips his team, Cleveland ends up with the number one overall pick. When Michael Jordan dipped from the Bulls, weren't they like the one or two seed in the East still?
Yeah, they kept their same team. Everyone
exactly,
brings that up.
Exactly, bro. LeBron that team's left, ridiculous.
When LeBron left, everyone else left in Cleveland too. There was nothing there. I mean, they had everyone else left. When Jordan left, the team stayed put. They got bounced first round in the playoffs, and then Jordan came back, and they decided just to win three more championships real quick and then leave. And so, yeah, they had a good roster, but they had the same roster. I mean, if Cleveland had Kyrie and Kevin Love fully healthy without LeBron, I mean, I think that's a playoff team. They're not competitive, just like Chicago. I think that's a playoff team, though. Wade and Bosch would have been a good playoff team.
Absolutely.
In Miami. And so I think it's, I mean, yeah, those first Cleveland teams were bad. I'm not denying that. Those first Cleveland teams were really bad.
So actually, I think, honestly, that first Cleveland team when they went to the finals, I think it's not as bad. Honestly, than people think.
Lost to the Spurs.
Yeah. Yeah, that one. Honestly,
blowouts.
That Cleveland team honestly wasn't horrible. That his surrounding cast wasn't horrible, but it was not good. It just wasn't like, I don't think he had another all-star with him.
I mean, it was impressive they got to the championship, but yeah. I just don't know why all these LeBron fans always put so much fame on the fact that he finishes second so many times. Like, I value gold more than silver, I guess.
No, I value gold too, absolutely. Because LeBron, he's going to have the same amount of championship wins as Jordan at the end of his career.
But he's already played more seasons.
I know, but he's played on way worse teams.
You get more chances, you statistically are going to go more
up. He's played on way worse teams with way worse coaches than Phil Jackson.
No, LeBron James is a coach fire, first of all. You got to admit that. He is a coach fire. He didn't give David Blatt a chance. Huh?
Spoelstra never got fired.
Yeah, Spoelstra's first year. LeBron likes first year coaches because he could boss them around. He didn't like David Blatt because David Blatt wasn't taking any shit.
David Blatt was not a good coach.
He didn't give him a chance. The dude had like 20 games.
He just why doesn't he have another job?
Then he brings in Ty Lue because Ty Lue's going to do whatever he says.
Yes, and Ty Lue got another job.
Yeah, doing whatever Kawhi Leonard and Paul George says.
Oh, Lord.
LeBron has to be in control of everything. Jordan didn't.
Yeah, because LeBron knows what's right.
Again, we could do another whole show on this.
Yeah, time's up. We've hit the hour mark. We'll continue this Friday.
All respect.
We will continue this Friday. Y'all have a good one. Make sure to share us, like us, shout us out on Twitter. Again, it's The Takeover. And of course, y'all, if you made it this far, make sure you swipe up on my Instagram story. Once I'm done here, I got to do a little video. And you got to check out this eBay link. It's insane.
Golf season's coming.
These 70% off Callaway clubs is ridiculous. So make sure to swipe up on my Instagram story. I think y'all follow me. Yeah, make sure to show your boys some love. Like, retweet, shout us out. Your favorite sports podcast. And want to know how I know it's your favorite sports podcast? Because you're listening to us right now. That's how I know. Y'all have a good one. Take it easy. Peace and love. We'll see you Friday night.
Much love.
Oh my goodness. Y'all made it to the end of the podcast. Let's go. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at the_takeover for the ability to see us live Mondays and Fridays, 5:30 to 6:30 Mountain Standard Time, while we record our episodes to see the behind the scenes action, and you can leave comments and questions for us to answer. If you know anyone that needs a new sports podcast to listen to, make sure to tell all your friends, siblings, parents, baby mamas, and everyone else out there all about The Takeover. We appreciate y'all. Peace and love. Hope you catch us next week.